Good afternoon, and welcome to Aramis Communications Internet Radio. This is Martha Ann Zerba.
And Emily Osman.
From the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware, Curia, United States of America. Today is the 17th of July, 2020, and we will talk about the story of Our Lady of Mount Carmel and the Brown Scapular. In this hour of grace, where mercy triumphed over justice, let us immerse ourselves completely in the Lord's mercy, adoring, glorifying, invoking His omnipotence for the whole world and particularly for poor sinners. First, let us reflect on St. Faustina's diary in unity. Unity with Jesus is unity with others. The Church is glorious for many reasons. One glorious aspect of the Church is the unity found within it. It's true that there is, at times, much internal disunity, hurt, and disorder of every kind, but these are not qualities of the Church. These are the effects of the sins of her members. The Church herself is the spotless bride of Christ, and the more we enter into union with Christ Jesus, the more fully we are a member of His glorious Church. By uniting ourselves to Christ, we unite ourselves to the Holy Father, and by uniting ourselves to the Holy Father, we unite ourselves to St. Peter, all the apostles, and all the saints who are living in heaven. We become mystically united with Christians throughout the world, and our prayer and adoration of God becomes one song of praise, rising to the glory of heaven. And as we unite ourselves through our unity with Christ, we receive the overabundance of mercy from God, making us one. And you can see all this in St. Faustina's diary, number 1044. Now, do you see yourself as a member of the one body of Christ? Do you understand that you are called to share in the unity that comes from your union with Him? Loving Jesus with your whole mind, your whole heart, your whole soul and strength brings about a profound love for others. If it does not, then it's not authentic love of God. Reflect upon the effect that your love of God has on your relationship with others. Let your love for God affect you in such a way that you discover an outpouring of love for all people, especially those within the Church. And let that love reveal the deep bond of unity that is established as a result. For unity is glorious. It is a central blessing flowing from the Church and a sign of the mercy of God. So, Lord, help me to always live in union with You and with others. May my love for You overflow into my love for others, especially those who are members of Your Church. I love You, dear Lord, and I trust in You.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of His sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Now, let's talk about the story of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and this, in particular, comes from the Franciscan media. Hermits lived on Mount Carmel, near the Fountain of Elijah in northern Israel, in the 12th century. They had a chapel dedicated to Our Lady. By the 13th century, they became known as Brothers of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. They soon celebrated a special Mass and office in honor of Mary. But in 1726, it became a celebration of the Universal Church under the title of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. For centuries, the Carmelites have seen themselves as specially related to Mary. Their great saints and theologians have promoted devotion to her and have championed the mystery of her Immaculate Conception. Saint Therese of Avila, called Carmel, the Order of the Virgin, St. John of the Cross credited Mary with saving him from drowning as a child, leading him to Carmel, and helping him escape from prison. St. Therese of the Child Jesus believed that Mary cured her from illness. On her first communion day, Therese dedicated her life to Mary. During the last days of her life, she frequently spoke of Mary. There is a tradition, which may not be historical, that Mary appeared to Saint Simon Stock, a leader of the Carmelites, and gave him a scapular, telling him to promote devotion to it. The scapular is a modified version of Mary's own garment. It symbolizes her special protection and calls the wearers to consecrate themselves to her in a special way. The scapular reminds us of the gospel call to prayer and penance, a call that Mary models in a very splendid way. Well, there's a reflection on that, Emily. Would you like to share it?
Okay. The Carmelites were known from early on as Brothers of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. The title suggests that they saw Mary not only as mother, but also a sister. The word sister is a reminder that Mary is very close to us.
Amen.
She is the daughter of God and therefore can help us be authentic daughters and sons of God. She also can help us grow in appreciation of being sisters and brothers to one another. She leads us to a new realization that all human beings belong to the family of God. When such a conviction grows, there is hope that the human race can find its way to peace. And we really need it today.
We sure do, especially today when statues are coming down in churches. And we need to start a new Fatima, praying the rosary constantly. The power of the rosary is beyond any explanation. But before we talk about the brown scapular, let us first pray the litany to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Heaven, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Vanquisher of Satan,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Most Dutiful Daughter,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Most Pure Virgin,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Most Devoted Spouse,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Most Tender Mother,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Perfect Model of Virtue,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Sure Anchor of Hope,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Refuge in Affliction,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Dispenser of God's Gifts,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Tower of Strength Against Our Foes,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Our Aid in Danger,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Road Leading to Jesus,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Our Light in Darkness,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Our Consolation at the Hour of Death,
pray for us sinners.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Advocate of the Most Abandoned Sinners,
pray for us sinners.
For those hardened in vice, with confidence we come to thee,
O Lady of Mount Carmel.
With those who grieve for thy Son,
with confidence we come to thee,
O Lady of Mount Carmel. For those who neglect to pray,
with confidence we come to thee,
O Lady of Mount Carmel. For those who are in their agony,
with confidence we come to thee,
O Lady of Mount Carmel. For those who delay their conversion,
with confidence we come to thee,
O Lady of Mount Carmel. For those suffering in purgatory,
with confidence we come to thee,
O Lady of Mount Carmel. For those who know thee not,
with confidence we come to thee,
O Lady of Mount Carmel. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
O Our Lady of Mount Carmel, hope of the despairing,
intercede for us with thy divine Son.
Let us pray. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, glorious Queen of Angels, channel of God's tenderest mercy to man, refuge and advocate of sinners, with confidence we prostrate ourselves before thee, beseeching thee to obtain for us our intentions, an end to the coronavirus pandemic, and peace in our country and world. In return, we solemnly promise to have recourse to Thee in all our trials, sufferings, and temptations, and we shall do all in our power to induce others to love and reverence Thee, and to invoke Thee in all their needs. We thank Thee for the numberless blessings which we have received from Thy mercy and powerful intercession. Continue to be our shield in danger, our guide in life, and our consolation at the hour of death. Amen. So now we're going to talk about if the scapular is truly a wonderful sacramental or if it's a magic charm. And this comes from Catholic Answers by Father Hugh Barber. So, whoever dies wearing the scapular shall not suffer eternal fire. As we all know, that's written on every scapular.
Yes.
Many of us have seen brown scapulars of Our Lady of Mount Carmel on which these words are inscribed. Her feast day was yesterday, on the 16th of July. Father Hugh, the author of this article, said that many years ago his aunt, who was a serious Protestant, saw those words on his scapular, and she was not at all amused. Such an assertion seemed to her to confirm the worst stereotype of Catholic devotion to physical objects of piety. Imagine, eternal fire guaranteed just for having a little piece of magic cloth around your neck. Father Hugh tried in his youthful way to explain to her what these words actually meant, but she was unimpressed. Being a polite Episcopalian, she just let the matter drop. After all, the thing was so clearly off base in her estimation that she did not need my discussion of the question. Well, setting aside the question of the prudence of embroidering such a statement on a scapular, let's consider how it got there and what it could possibly mean.
Okay. In order to understand the scapular promise, we need to go back a bit in time, at least to the 4th century. Saint Pachomius, which was the first father of the church to establish a stable rule and habit and cycle of prayer for monasteries. Before him, there were certainly monasteries. In fact, the first Christians of Jerusalem practically lived a monastic life. But he was the first to set up a form that could be copied and reproduced as a rule. Pachomius was the first to receive a heavenly visitation. An angel appeared to him and promised him that anyone who wore his habit and followed his way of monastic life would attain eternal salvation. There are numerous icons in the Christian East that depict this vision. Here is one. Note the angel's indication of the monastic hood and scapular. Various founders of religious orders over time had similar experiences. The most well-known was that of Saint Simon Stock in the 13th century. This saint, whose feast is on May 16, was given the habit of the Carmelites by Our Lady with the promise that whoever persevered in the habit and was faithful to her office, namely the office of Our Lady from the Liturgy of the Hours, and to abstinence on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, would be saved and even liberated from purgatory on the first Saturday after death. That's hard. Well, doing
yeah, it certainly is amazing that Saint Pachomius, he had an angel appear to him, and then Simon Stock, he had Our Lady appear to him. So my goodness. Well, this is the origin of the popular devotion to the Carmelite scapular. It must be remembered, however, that this is not magic. It assumes an attachment to and perseverance in prayer and some form of penance, not just the wearing of a physical object. Other orders have similar stories. Father Hugh's order, the Norbertines, or the Canons Regular of Premonitor, received their habit from Our Lady and their rule from St. Augustine, who promised that those who followed his rule would have a good defense on the Day of Judgment. The most reverent and recent account from the 1700s is from St. Paul of the Cross, to whom Our Lady appeared with the Passionist habit. We have his account in his own handwriting, so no one can claim that it is just imagination. Let us look carefully at what he tells us. Go ahead, Emily. Let's hear.
When I saw the holy tunic presented to me, that's what St. Paul said, St. Paul of the Cross, I did not see any corporeal form. I saw it in God. That is the soul knows that it is God, because he makes it understand this by an intelligence infused into the soul.
Yeah, that's the beauty of our soul. We can feel it within without any explanation.
Yeah, it just is. Mm-hmm. Here is the point we need to understand. Just as the Lord and his apostles give us numerous and generous assurances of salvation in the New Testament, for giving a cup of cold water in his name, or for doing anything for the least of his brethren, so too these later assurances do not mean that we get to ignore or neglect the whole order of the commandments in favor of some little practice of piety. The promises attached to the wearing of the scapular, or to the recitation of the rosary, or of the chaplet of divine mercy, are all simply the same promises that characterize the promises of the Lord in the Gospels. All these devotional practices do is make our works concrete and relate them to the mystery of the Word made flesh. They do not give us a pass on living an upright life in accordance with the commandments.
Yeah, so let's look again at the words of St. Paul of the Cross. Here he goes. When I saw the holy tunic presented to me, I did not see any corporal form. I saw it in God. That is, the soul knows that it is God, because he makes us understand this by an intelligence infused into the soul. Wow, I saw it in God. This might explain the power of the sacramentals that our Savior and His Blessed Mother and the saints have recommended to us over the centuries. This is a very profound insight that tells us that we are not dealing with simple material objects or charms, but with outward signs of God's will that we live in union with Him and persevere in His love until death. That is what the Apostle tells us in today's second lesson. Well, in love, He destined us for adoption to Himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of His will, for the praise of the glory of His grace that He granted us in the Beloved. Now, this is the sense of the various promises attached to objects of religious profession and devotion, God's saving will and His grace. I'll say that again, God's saving will and His grace. Let us make grateful and good use of these means of salvation, small as they are, even as small as a cup of cold water or a good deed done to the least of His brethren. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful. Okay, let's talk about the sign of the scapular now, which of course comes from Catholic Answers by Michelle Arnold.
Okay, this is a story by Michelle Arnold. She said, soon after becoming a Catholic, she started collecting Catholicana to hang about her neck. Wow. Eventually, she was wearing a brown scapular, a crucifix, and a dog tag chain with 20 or more holy medals. I can imagine myself doing that too. Ooh, I think I am doing that.
Yeah, well, and I think I got close and I went back to Mary because I was getting sores on my neck. But I think God understands that. Yeah. That's why the scapular is so lightweight.
Yeah, she liked to think of that necklace as her cloud of witnesses. Mm-hmm. But one day the chain broke and she never replaced it. And the only sacramental she continued to wear was her brown scapular.
How beautiful. Why was the brown scapular special to her? According to Michelle, it was not because of the so-called scapular promise attached to the scapular attributed to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, in which she is believed to have the promise, as St. Simon Stock said, that those who die wearing this scapular shall not suffer eternal fire. Well, no, the brown scapular was special to her because she had the privilege to be enrolled in the confraternity of the scapular during a visit to the Carmelite monastery on Mount Carmel in Haifa, Israel, where on pilgrimage to the Holy Land during the Jubilee year 2000. Well, unfortunately, many Catholics treat the promise attributed to the brown scapular quite superstitiously, as Michelle was reminded by the reaction to her essay on superstitious prayers to St. Jude. In that blog post, she wrote,
for example, the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel is sometimes promoted with the promise that wearing it will ensure that the person who wears is guaranteed heaven.
No, that's not quite true, is it?
No, it's not. This guarantee is based on a misunderstanding of Our Lady of Mount Carmel's promise to St. Simon Stock that whoever dies clothed in this scapular shall not suffer eternal fire. In fact, that promise has been so misconstrued even to this very day that Carmelites now downplay that promise.
Well, and how about that? And then Michelle's assertion that Carmelites today downplay the promise attributed to the brown scapular was scandalous to some readers, one of whom commented, "How does the sacramental stir up devotion in a person if there is no special promises or a special message attached to it? And what about those Carmelites who pushed the promise for a very, very long time? Were they fibbing?" You know, there are plenty of Protestant sites out there that mock the scapular. They would love to see that the Carmelites are now saying, "Oops." What do you think, Emily?
While Carmelites of old cannot be said to have fibbed, modern Carmelites have been saying "oops" for quite some time now about some of the more extravagant claims made by Carmelites down through the centuries about the origins of the Carmelite order and the scapular entrusted to the Carmelites. Being a secular Carmelite herself, Michelle, who wrote this article, has been one of the modern Carmelites who have said "oops" and tried to set the record straight. You can continue what she's
sure doing. It's amazing. From its very founding, the Carmelite order was unique from other orders founded about the same time in history, in that it had no known saintly founder. The Franciscans had, well, St. Francis of Assisi, of course. The Dominicans had St. Dominic. But the Carmelites' exact historical origin have become obscure. To the best findings of current scholarly research, the Carmelites were founded by veterans of the Crusades, laymen and their military chaplains, who chose to retreat to Mount Carmel to live in peace as hermits did. Sometimes between the year 1206 and 1214, these men petitioned the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, whose name was Albert of Avogadro, to give them a rule of life. The result was the rule of St. Albert, which inspires and guides Carmelite's life to this very day. Well, by the end of the 13th century, the Carmelites had become established in Europe, and simultaneously, the remaining hermits on Mount Carmel were martyred during the fall of the region of the Saracens. Carmelites would not be able to return to Mount Carmel until the 17th century. One of the casualties of that tragedy was the loss of any archives that might have been maintained by the hermits living on Mount Carmel before their dispersion to Europe and eventual martyrdom. This in turn meant that the Carmelites have no known saintly founder, which was considered scandalous. But let's fill in that void. What do you think, Emily?
Yeah, to fill that void, stories began to circulate that the Carmelites could trace their origins back in a direct chain to the prophet Elijah.
Oh, beautiful.
Who had long been associated with Mount Carmel and was believed to have lived as a hermit there. That's in
the Book of
1 Kings.
Yeah, how about that?
Chapter 18. To all the prophets who followed him, and to Christ and his followers, some of whom it was asserted to continue to live as hermits on Mount Carmel down through the ages. This origin story sparked a great deal of vigorous debate among historians for centuries, until eventually the weight of historical evidence indicated that there was no link between the prophet Elijah and the Carmelites, although Elijah is still considered a spiritual father to the order.
Well, it's amazing how God gets through all this, you know, and brings it all to us so we can understand better. Well, and if it wasn't enough to link themselves directly to Elijah, the Carmelites also began asserting a supernatural origin for their scapular. Not the little piece worn by many Catholics today, but the large full-length scapular that constituted a significant part of the Carmelite habit. When the order was established itself in Europe, the garb then worn by the hermits was appropriate to a Palestinian mountaintop, but strange in Europe and looked upon with suspicion. Effort was made to alter the habit to something more suited to the society in which the Carmelites now had to live. Instituting the change was slow going, that is, until the claim was made that the Virgin herself had handed a scapular to Saint Simon, who, not coincidentally at all, was an early prior general of the Carmelites in Europe, and promised that whoever dies clothed in the scapular shall never suffer eternal fire. Wow. Go ahead, Emily, let's finish off.
Although the supernatural origins of the brown scapular have become as historically suspect as the origin story that names Elijah as direct founder of the Carmelites, the promise of eternal salvation attributed to the scapular ensured that it would eventually become a treasured sacramental, not just for the Carmelites, but for all Catholics, which in turn raises questions when modern Carmelites do their part to set the record straight. And such a question is, were the Carmelites of old fibbing about the brown scapular?
Oh no, they firmly believed the origin story handed down to them. It's taken centuries of historical research to sort out fact from pious fiction. And for centuries, the pious fiction was passed on as God's truth, literally. Here's another question that I find rather interesting. Why would Saint Simon Stock tell such a story about an apparition of the Virgin if it did not actually happen?
Well, he may not have been the one to start the story.
Yeah, I bet.
He may simply have passed on the word to his brother hermits that this is your new habit and you are to wear it as a matter of obedience or face the possibility of eternal damnation for refusing obedience to a lawful superior. It's a means of binding consciences that would not have raised eyebrows during that time period in church history. From there, the directive could have been gilded in legend. Something similar happened with the origin of Saint Dominic and the Rosary.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
History ultimately is a story retold through the centuries according to the unique perspective and personal agenda of its tellers. That doesn't mean history is false or a lie. It only means that history is not free of the effects of human frailty. If you're interested in reading more about the origins of the Carmelite order, Michelle Arnold recommends Journey to Carith by Peter Thomas Rohrbach, from which much of the history we just told was drawn. But what was done, here's another question. What was done by the church to clear up misconceptions about the brown scapular?
Well, let me tell you, not long after Vatican II, the feast of Saint Simon Stock was removed. Yes, I said removed from the liturgical calendar of the Carmelite order. It was eventually decided that this step was not necessary. And so the feast day was restored, with the condition that the liturgy for his feast could not contain mention of the vision of Our Lady of Mount Carmel and the scapular that had been attributed to him. Well, and how about this question? Does the brown scapular have any value if there is no guarantee that the wearer will be saved?
Okay, And now we are back to the point of Michelle's original essay on superstition, as she said about the so-called never-fail novena to St. Jude.
That's so true, because as a rule of thumb, anytime someone promises you that a prayer is never known to fail, or that participating in a devotion will guarantee you salvation, that should be seen as a red flag warning you of superstition, even when the devotion is otherwise encouraged by the church. You can be certain that the church will never sanction guarantees of salvation. Any prayer said sincerely, with love for God and devotion to His Mother and His saints, may be fruitful for the salvation of souls. That's beautiful, huh?
Yeah.
What matters is the love and devotion offered by the person praying, not the words of the prayer or the formula of the devotion. It's all our devotion as we pray. In 2000, as part of the commemoration of the 750th anniversary of the Brown Scapular, representatives of the Carmelites of the Ancient Observance and the Descale Carmelites worked together to produce a catechism of the Brown Scapular. The purpose of the document was to clear away misconceptions and misunderstandings about the Brown Scapular and to explain the true importance of the scapular. How about that?
The Brown Scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel is best understood in the context of our Catholic faith. It offers us a rich spiritual tradition that honors Mary as the first and foremost of her son's disciples. This scapular is an outward sign of the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our sister, our mother, and our queen.
Amen.
It offers an effective symbol of Mary's protection to the Order of Carmel, its members, associates, and affiliates, as they strive to fulfill their vocation as defined by the Carmelite rule of Saint Albert, which is to live in allegiance to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Can you summarize it?
Sure. In short, the Brown Scapular is not a lucky charm or a guarantee of heaven. Rather, it is a sign of the devotion of Carmelites to Our Lady of Mount Carmel and her son. And it is a sign of Our Lady of Mount Carmel's love for us and protection of the order that honors her as sister, mother, and queen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Then we're going to go right to the Catena Legionis, which Legion of Mary say weekly as we gather together. So please join us. Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? My soul glorifies the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
For He looks on His servant in her lowliness. Henceforth, all ages will call me blessed.
The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy His name.
His mercy is from age to age on those who fear Him.
He puts forth His arm in strength and scatters the proud-hearted.
He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly.
He fills the starving with good things, sends the rich away empty.
He protects Israel, His servant, remembering His mercy.
The mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his sons forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising? Fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator with the Father, you have been pleased to appoint the most blessed Virgin, your mother, to be our mother also, and our mediatrix with you. Mercifully grant that whoever comes to you seeking your favors may rejoice to receive all of them through her. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our prayers and our necessities, but ever deliver us from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Mary Immaculate, Mediatrix of all graces,
pray for us.
Saint Michael, Saint Gabriel, and Saint Raphael,
pray for us.
All you heavenly powers, Mary's Legion of Angels,
pray for us.
Saint John the Baptist,
pray for us.
Saints Peter and Paul,
pray for us.
Confer, O Lord, on us, who serve beneath the standard of Mary, that fullness of faith in you and trust in her, to which it is given to conquer the world. Grant us a lively faith, animated by charity, which will enable us to perform all our actions from the motive of pure love of you, and ever to see you and serve you in our neighbor, a faith firm and immovable as a rock, through which we shall rest tranquil and steadfast amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life, a courageous faith which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and for the salvation of souls, a faith which will be our legion's pillar of fire to lead us forth united, to kindle everywhere the fires of divine love, to enlighten those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to inflame those who are lukewarm, to bring back life to those who are dead in sin, and which will guide our own feet in the way of peace, so that the battle of life over, our legion may reassemble without the loss of anyone in the kingdom of your love and glory. Amen. May the souls of our departed legionaries and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Before you end, maybe you can remind them about the rosary at St. Mary's.
Sure. Today when Emily and I met, she had let me know about some things that were on the Catholic News Agency and the Catholic Registry. And in Florida and other countries or other states, they're actually destroying churches, statues of Our Lady, statues of Saint Joseph. It was heartbreaking to hear. I just wasn't keeping up with that news. So she had told me that every Monday at Saint Mary the Assumption in Hockessin, Delaware, after the 8:30 Mass, we'll be saying a rosary.
This together. Is starting on the 27th.
The 27th of August.
Of July,
I'm awfully sorry. And it'll be going every Monday.
Yes.
So please join us if you're nearby. The more, the better when we're praying such a powerful prayer. So, thank you for listening, and we welcome your comments. Send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. And we would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. Father Charles Dillingham, pastor of St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware. A.J. Laporto, who provided the music. And all the members of the Legion of Mary Wilmington Curia. Well, thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m. And may God's abundant blessings be upon you always.
Amen.
Amen.